There we go. Check. Check. We good? They did. It's good to be here. Good to be back with you and under the bright lights here. But I am glad to come and be here this week. I thank Pastor Tracy for having me. I'm excited. Love to hear you guys. Love to hear the choir sing. Your choir sounds great. You really do. And I just love to hear them. And I just love to be here with you guys. You guys are kind of a rare thing to see all these different ages. I was telling Pastor Tracy, it's such a blessing to see so many different age groups in church together. I think that's what God had in mind, wasn't it, with the church? I don't know if you like each other, but at least you're together, right, in church. But John chapter number 19, if you'll turn to John chapter number 19. As they said, my name is Ryan, and I am the youth pastor in West Virginia. I'm glad they put that up there because I live in Ohio, but we won't talk much about that. But, well, we'll talk a little about it. But I am, my wife, I drove her car, I was telling Pastor Tracy, and she got new license plates for it. She got Ohio State Buckeye license plate. I said, why do you hate me? So I'm figuring somebody's going to do something to it while I'm here. Asked Pastor if I could park in his garage and like use the van as the company car this week and drive around the manual bus or whatever for safety purposes. But I'm glad to be here, and we'll have a game coming up, I guess, against each other. I don't fear Wolverines. I do fear Spartans a little bit, but even now, I don't know. Do you? I really don't. But we have Jesus in common, don't we? Let's stay at that. We have that in common. Maybe nothing else, I don't know, but we have Jesus in common, don't we? But John chapter number 19 and verse number 38. John chapter 19, verse number 38. If you're there, say, I got it. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came, therefore, and took the body of Jesus. There came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. They took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen cloths and with spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. And in the place where he was crucified, there was a certain garden, a garden of new sepulchre, wherein never a man was laid. And there laid they Jesus, therefore, because the Jews' preparation day for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. I'm going to call this morning Driven. Driven. Let's go to prayer one more time. Father, we are certainly not here to hear anything I would have to say. We want to hear from you this morning. God, our desire is not to have a half a week of church. Our desire is to see revival come. And Father, we know that man can't work that up. We've done our best, we prayed, we've prepared. God, now you have to do the work. And so I pray, God, that your spirit would fall fresh on this place, God, that you would do something this week that after we step away, we'll have to look at it and say, only God could do that. Lord, I pray that you would draw us to you through your word, in Jesus' name. All God's people said. So what gear are you in? Yeah, what gear? What gear? Well, spiritual gear. Yeah, your spiritual gear this morning. I couldn't bring a car in, but I can bring, a steering wheel cover from the Walmart. And older people call it the Walmart. That's what you say. You say the Walmart. But I do have a steering wheel cover. And when it comes to driving, there are, there are gears. Gears. Yes, there are gears. And by the way, just because I have an Ohio State Buckeyes license plate, there's no need to horn cuss me when I'm driving down the... Because I had that happen a couple times, and it's just not right. It's really not. Especially if you're in church this morning. God knows. But anyway, it is this thing of what gear? What gear? Yeah, if it come to a physical car, we would say, there would be park. There would be park. That's the one up top. There would be park. You would be sitting there. You'd be sitting. You would not be moving. That's where you'd be sitting. Yeah, not moving, not going anywhere, not planning to go anywhere. You are parked. And the truth of the matter is, if we take a physical gear and then we move it to a spiritual gear, some of you, you're here. You're parked. Your favorite song? Let's sing it. I shall not be moved. That's my song. I shall not be moved. Though the preacher preaches, I shall not be moved. I shall not. That's where you are. You sit. Now, I don't know how long it's been since you've been moving. I don't know how long it's been since you've been in gear. But at this point in your life right now, you're dressed up, you're at church, but you are, spiritually speaking, you're not going anywhere. And it's not just that you're not going anywhere. You don't have any plans to go anywhere. You just are here. You figure that's enough. I mean, I come here. I hear three times a week. What more could they ask? What more could they want? I'm here. I'm parked, but I'm here. There's another gear. If you go from park, you can go to R. What's that? That's reverse. The thing about reverse is reverse going backwards. Well, in physical form, going backwards, my wife hates it because I love to back in places. I like the challenge of just backing in. She's like, you're going to do it again, aren't you? I know, I'm going to do it again. But if we take paddle boats out on the lake, I back the paddle boat into. I just love to back in places. The church van, I've all kinds of things. I say, what happened to the back of the church van? I don't know. I was backing into its back. When it comes to physical backing, it's where you used to be here, now you're back here. Some of you are not in park. Some of you, maybe you'd be honest with God, you're worse. You're used to be. You used to be up there. You used to be serving. You used to be singing. You used to be teaching. You used to be working the nursery. I had a lady at church tell me she would do the nursery if it wasn't for the kids. I said, I like that. I like that. Okay, we'll take away the kids. I don't know what we should do for that. But you used to be. Is there anything worse than a Christian who used to be? I don't know about you, but my big fear in ministry, Paul's big fear in ministry, was that he, at the end of his life, would do something crazy and become a castaway. Is there anything worse than someone who used to be a preacher, or used to be a teacher, or used to be a missionary, or... And we're going backwards. We're not going forward. I was ready to go to this. I was going to do that. But now, well, that's what I used to be, but I'm not that anymore. Why aren't you that anymore? There's people here in park here this morning. There's people here in reverse. You used to be sold out. You had plans to serve God, but life is what plans are what you make, and life is what happens, right? You used to be on fire. You used to be. And then the scariest one, not just the scariest one, we'll hit drive, of course. Drive is fun. And when you're in park or when you're in reverse, don't people in drive make you... You know what I mean? I mean, spiritually speaking, oh, of course they have a testimony. Oh, yes, they love. Yes, they love everyone. They love Jesus. Look at their kids. Their kids love Jesus. Everybody loves Jesus. And you are like just fighting over a sock on your way to church. You know what I mean? You're just like, people in drive you crazy because you're not there and you know you're not there, but you get around somebody in drive and you're like, let's just calm down. Right? A friend of mine is a missionary in Africa. He is always driven for God. He's always on fire. He's always witnessing. And he was my neighbor for a while because they were on deputation. They lived right beside us in a church parsonage. And it's like, man, do you ever just want to watch a game and yell or whatever? You know what I mean? You ever just want to kick something or yell at your kid or something, and the people in drive, you know what it's like? There are people that are just like, okay, I'm glad you're serving God, just not so fast. Maybe it's just me. I don't. There's people in park here this morning, you shall not be moved. There's people here in reverse, and you're just like, well, maybe next revival. There's a few of you in drive. There's a few of you, man, you're hitting all the spiritual checkpoints. Boom, 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 boom. You're just like, I'm yours, Lord, everything I got, everything I'm not, everything. You're just serving, man. You're going to the pastors. What can I do? And you just, everything. You're just knocking on doors. You're volunteering. Spiritual checkpoint, spiritual checkpoint, spiritual checkpoint. And you're making the rest of us look bad. And then the place where I believe most of us would be, if we'd be honest. And it's the place the two guys we just read about, and it's the inn, it's the neutral. Now, the scary thing about neutral is you can make all the noise as someone in drive until you hit a hill. The scary thing about being in neutral spiritually is you can make all the noise. You can sing all the songs. You can quote all the verses. You can know when to sit, know when to stand, until a hill comes. Until life happens, until the doctor says it's cancer, or the divorce happens, or the doctor says this, or the boss says this, or your kid does this, and all of a sudden now it exposes what you really have. And that's just a spiritually neutral relationship with God. And then you get around someone in the drive. And you try to make all the noise they're making, but it's not the same, is it? Because you know deep in your heart, you're just making noise. Will your faith in Christ get you up a hill? Will your faith in Christ get you when hard times hit? Because hear me, I promise you this, young person, you can look at the older ones around here, I promise you this, hard times will come. And they will come. And you may be able to coast your way spiritually through high school, but you won't through college. And you won't through marriage. You won't through marriage. You won't through marriage. Can I have an amen from the married people? You're afraid to amen, aren't you? You are afraid to amen. I think a little kid just, amen, you're not married, stop. All right? So as we have this, so what we have is, what gear are you in? If you're going downhill, you're in good shape. And you know these Christians, don't you? When things are going downhill, they're right with you. When the church is really going well, I said, Pastor, I said, man, this is great. Look at all these ages. He said, there used to be 22 people here. 22? Somebody invited somebody to church over the years. But that's uphill time. Now, Emmanuel Baptist Church, woo, we love it. But it wasn't always like that, was it? Not at all. There are two guys I want to mention to you. Two guys that I just read to you that, spiritually speaking, are in neutral. And something happens in their life that takes them from, spiritually speaking, being in neutral to all of a sudden being driven. And there are two guys we want to talk about. We'll read a couple of guys. Number one, verse number 38. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea had been a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came, therefore, and took the body of Jesus. Number one, Joseph. We'll call him Joe. What's that? He's rich. He's rich. With that money comes power. With that power comes position. With that position comes influence. And somewhere in Joe's life, something happened that may have happened to you. He got to a place where he said, why am I empty? I have the degree, I started the business, I got the house, but something's missing. At some point, Joseph came to Christ. He found the missing piece. He becomes the follower of Jesus, but get this, he can't tell anybody. He can't tell anybody. Why can't he tell anybody? Because he can't give up all he's worked for. You know how many years it took to get here? You know how hard I worked to get this position? He follows Jesus, but always at a safe distance, not close enough to risk losing his stuff. Joseph is in neutral. He's in neutral. Yeah, he's someone who would follow, but he's not going to hear me. One of the biggest lies this generation is believing is a salvation that will cost you nothing. Hear me. Following Jesus will not just cost you something. Following Jesus will cost you everything if you'll do it right. It will. It'll cost you everything. What we fed the younger generation is, oh no, it doesn't cost you much. Jesus died for you. Jesus loves you. Yes, he did. Salvation is free, but it's not cheap. It's not cheap. And so we've cheapened it down to say, you can follow him, and you can do that from a safe distance. So at this point in his life, earlier in this point in his life, Joseph, he's rich. He can't risk losing his stuff. He'll follow Jesus, but not to the point, look, where he brought, but secretly for fear of the Jews. He's afraid of people and what they might think if he ever gets in drive. And number two, there's a guy named Nick. I like to call him Nick at night, Nicodemus. He came to Jesus by night. I believe he came by night because he was scared, hashtag scared, as the kids say, sorry. Or what, I guess you used to say that, I guess not anymore. Or what people would think. Now Joseph, he's rich, he's got money, he's got power, he's got position, he's got influence. Nicodemus, he's religious. He's religious. He has a robe, he has a hat, so many degrees, you'd call him Dr. Fahrenheit. He knows everything about religion. He knows the law, he knows the rules, he knows the rituals. He knows when to stand, he knows when to sit. He comes to Jesus to make small talk. He says, hey, we know you're from God because no man can do these miracles except God be with him. And Jesus, who I love, wasn't into small talk, said, Nick, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Whoa. I'm not here to talk about that. And maybe you're here this morning, you're not here to talk about that. Jesus wants to talk about that. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So we have a rich guy and a religious guy. And all we know of them up until this point, is neutral. That's all we know of. All we know of their spiritual walk up until this point is they are following, but not enough to risk losing their stuff, and not enough to risk losing their religion, and not enough for people to actually look at them and say, I know who you are, you're one of those crazy Christians. They're in neutral. They're neutral. And so when it comes to their life, we have a rich guy, but what are they doing? Verse number 40. And they took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen cloths and with spices, as the manner of Jews is to bury. Wait, what? What are they doing? We have a rich guy who's afraid he might lose his stuff, a religious man who's afraid he might lose his religion. Doing what? What are they doing? They're taking Jesus off the... What are they doing? They're asking for the body of Jesus. Now, just on a side note, Jesus is in total control of his body even after his death. That's power. You don't have that power. Now, you might have some requests of your family members after you die, but you know how crazy they are. You don't know what they're going to do without you or with you or with your stuff. Your stuff is the inventory of their future garage sale. It is. You're going to say, no, I want you to do this with this and this. My family, I don't trust them a bit. Not at all. Not at all. And so, but listen, you have no power over your stuff, especially when you die. The sovereign hand of God, Jesus was actually controlling who touched his body after he died. You'll find that angry hands touched his body on the cross, but after his death, only loving hands get to touch the body. That's power. As a matter of fact, in written in red, Jesus says in Revelation, he says, I am he who was dead. That guy wins. If you're at a party and you're talking, you're like trying to outdo each other's story, and one of your uncles comes in, the crazy one, and says, hey, I used to be dead, he wins. He wins because he used to be dead. You don't say that. None of us say that, do we? That I used to be dead. I used to be dead. Jesus wins because he beat the thing that we're all going to lose to one day. So he's someone who's controlling that. But I want you to see that as we look at this, they're taking his body. They're asking for the body of Jesus. And I want you to consider how dangerous of a request this is. Two guys in neutral are asking for the most important body in the history of bodies. Two guys in neutral. One who won't follow him simply for fear of the Jews. And one who won't follow him because he's got to get it all figured out religion-wise. They're asking for the most historic body. This body is so important that they said they were going to put a guard there because they said they're going to try to steal the body, so we got to seal up the tomb. And I love this Easter part of this. It says, and make it sure. I love the writing that one of the gospel writers said they rolled the stone, make it sure. As if he can't come through if humans make it sure. Oh, he's not coming through there. We got it. Right? We got him locked. He's locked in there. Right? He's locked in. And make it sure. And if you say God can't, are you sure? Are you sure? They are asking. Now listen, if these were two guys, other than these two guys, you could go with this, right? Because we know these guys, it says in there, they're hashtag scared. How do they go from neutral to drive so fast? I mean, like, transmission slipping fast. Like, you were just afraid because of people. You're risking your life here to ask for this body. You know how important this body is? Do you know in 3.5 years, the ruckus this body has caused? People say, well, I don't believe that Jesus guy. 3.5 years is all he did ministry. And we're still talking about him. A life like that demands your attention. Time revolves around him. He is he that was dead, and behold, he's alive forevermore. And these guys are scared to death of what people will think. And then one day, all of a sudden, they risk it all for him. And does anybody really even know why? I think I may have an answer. Watch this. It's verse number 38. The first three words. First three words of verse number 38 of John chapter 19 are, and after what? This. After what? After this. After what? Well, if your Bible has headings at the top, mine would say right above that, verse number 28, it'll say Jesus dies on the cross. Jesus dies on the cross. It says, and after this, Joseph of Arimathea. After this, there came Nicodemus. After this, Joseph did what? After this, Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave, he came thereof. And what? After this, he took the body of Jesus. And after this came also Nicodemus. And after this, they took the body of Jesus and went linen cloths. And after this, with the spice of the manner of Jesus to bury. And after this, never in the place that there was a crucified as a garden, and the garden was made separate. And after this, there they laid Jesus. After this, what happened in their life? Hear me, Emmanuel. Somebody died. Somebody died. Somebody died. Yeah, well, it's got to be more than that, right? No, somebody died. Somebody died. And the death of Christ took a couple of guys in neutral to driven for the cause of Christ in a way that they would risk their very lives for it. Because somebody died, they got in drive. Because somebody actually took this to the point of death, we have two guys that were afraid of what people would think of them, to the two guys in neutral are actually the two God uses to do this with. Why would he use these two guys? Isn't there somebody around in drive? Isn't there somebody around that God could have used? No, I love that he uses these two guys. Because there's something in their life that must have happened as they're sitting there in their neutral spiritual walk when they hear the news, wait a minute, he died? He took this all the way to death? Then we got to get up. We can't stay like this. We got to get moving. We got to get going. We got to get to a place now to where what? After this, they take the body. It must be. The Apostle Paul said this. Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Nicodemus wanted him to have a king's burial. What is it? It must be the cross that drives us. It has to be the cross that drives us. You, as it comes to this thing of, well, I don't really feel like it anymore. I really don't feel like serving God anymore. I'm here for the revival, and I heard you were going to be there. Oh, listen to the Buckeye talk. I'll go do that. Well, we'll go do that. Okay, maybe one night we'll eat. That'll be fun and all that. But you're not planning on moving. Listen, somebody died. And it's even better than that for us. Not only did somebody die, somebody got up again. You study the book of Acts, do you know all they clung to? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. It was their whole, they hung everything they lived based on the fact that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. They didn't need a third chorus. They didn't need an outline. They didn't need a week of services. They had what they had, and they risked their very lives for it. If you are not driven by the fact that Jesus Christ bled and died on the cross and 3 days later came up from the grave on behalf of you before a holy, just, righteous God, if that doesn't get you going, nothing will. And it might, you say, yeah, but sometimes it might for a little while sustain you. It might for a little while keep you going. But if this thought that Christ bled and died on the cross for you, if that doesn't get you in drive spiritually, you'll never be able to maintain spiritually driven life. Because you know people are going to let you down, don't you? You say, well, Ryan, I tell you, if the church would just, then I would. If the love of Christ doesn't motivate you, nothing will. So, well, Pastor would, bless his heart, little feller's got a bad will. He can't, you know what I mean? He's sitting up here, he's hurting. Listen, he's not enough to motivate you. Oh, the choir, love the choir, love to hear them sing a song. Maybe if they'd hear sing a song that I wish they'd sing this or sing that. Listen, that won't keep you going over the long haul. So, well, if we just had a certain guy in, won't we have the other guy? What's the other guy's name? Let's have that other guy in. Listen, we know way more Bible than we live, don't we? We know way more Bible than we live. And how is it that we sit here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night? Some of us are fanatics this week. We'll go Sunday morning, Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. And it's we'll be the Word of God will be brought. We're singing about it, testifying about it. But listen, here, your main thing to keep you going has to be Christ and Christ alone. Because it'll get downright depressing if you start looking in another lane for something else to keep you going. Paul said, I won't glory in anything other than the cross. He said, the love of God, what constrains me. It wasn't Paul's love for God. It was God's love for Paul. He said, I'm constrained by that. You know, I love my wife. I know my wife loves me. Here's how I know my wife loves me. Because she's still with me. And the reason I'm surprised by that is because she knows me. I mean, really knows me. And you see, you can only really be loved to the extent that you're known. To be fully known and fully loved is a precious gift. To be fully known and fully loved. That's a precious gift for someone to give you. So I know that she loves me. See, you can say you love me, but there might be something in my life where I would say, if you knew this about me, you might not love me. So I hold that from you because you wouldn't want to hear me preach if you knew everything about me. And before you start feeling good about yourself, I probably wouldn't want to preach to you if I knew everything about... Never mind, we'll move on, right? But here's what I want you to see as we begin to land this thing. I want you to think about this and think about it in this way. Imagine if on this screen, if we had this magic projector up there. That is a big projector. But a magic projector up there. And what we were going to do was, we're going to get together tonight. And what we're going to do is we're going to show everybody's life. It's a magic projector, and we have these connections with God, and God's going to let us show you everything up in your life. Everything. We're going to watch everybody's life, and we're going to start with Pastor Tracy's. That's what we're going to do. We're going to show Pastor Tracy's life from when he was born, when he's like 4'6", all the way up to where he is now. We're going to show his life all the way up to where he is now. Okay, we're going to show his life, everything. Listen, I'm coming for that. right? As a matter of fact, I'm going to get popcorn. I'm going to watch. I'm going to sit there in the front row, and I'm going to watch all the bad stuff the future Pastor Tracy ever did. And then we're going to go down the row, and we're going to watch the family. And then you're going to start getting nervous because we're going to get closer to your row. And we're going to start watching movie after movie after movie after movie after movie. And then when it gets closer to mine, I'm going to run screaming out of here and drive. I'm going to drive, get in my little car, my little Toyota, and drive back wherever I came from. Because here's what we all know. Everyone in this room knows this. That movie's going to change opinions. It's going to change opinions. Well, I can't believe that. Well, I would have never thought that. Well, I just would have never thought that he would have or she would have. How could they? Hear me, church. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Do you know what that means? That means that he's seen the movie. And he stays in the theater. And he's not changed by it. As a matter of fact, he saw it before you were ever born. God's knowledge of you precedes your mother's womb. He knew you before you were even born. And if he's not moving from that, why wouldn't you run toward that? The kind of love that will say, I know what you've done. I know who you are. Why wouldn't that motivate us to love him back or to serve him with everything we've got? To take this one precious life and offer it to him. Not to say, well, I shall not be moved. Or not to say, well, I was going to do that someday, but life happened, Ryan. And for heaven's sake, not to just sit there and sound like we're serving, but we're not. To be driven by someone who stays even as the movie's playing. And says, I'll love you enough to die in your place. It's all I got to be driven by. See, the gospel's not just the diving board that gets you into Christianity. The gospel is the whole pool. Christians can become plastic people who used to need Jesus. They need Jesus. That's what they need. So do we. And see, if we're not careful, we'll put the gospel as something that just the unsaved folk need. No, we still need it today. You take the gospel out of your marriage, you're not going to be married long. You take the gospel out of raising kids, you're going to hurt them. You are. But here's my question today in closing. My question today in closing, I ask you in the beginning one question. It's a simple question I want you to think about throughout the day and throughout the invitation we're going to have here in a minute. But I want you to think, what gear are you in? I'm not asking you what gear your husband's in. Yes, Ryan, you need to talk to him. No, I'm talking about you. I'm not asking you what gear your wife is in or what gear your church is in. I'm asking you to draw a circle around you this week and say, revive everything in this circle. And don't draw a circle around anybody other than you. And if you are in park, why are you still sitting there? He has nothing more he needs to do for you. My daughter Emma asked me for a quarter the other day. And she said, I didn't want to ask you for a quarter. After all, you're living in my house free. I mean, a quarter's, I got that. I didn't want to ask you for a quarter, but yet you will use my food, my electric, right? You know what I mean? And so you'll say, well, what am I saying? What I'm saying is there's nothing bigger God can do for you than he's already done. The cross is the biggest thing he'll ever do for you. And God is debt-free. He owes you nothing more. I'd love to see a church in Drive, wouldn't you? I'm not talking about just a few people. I'm talking about a congregation of people that are driven not by sermons and songs, because those will get old eventually. not by youth programs and by all the other things we can throw in. Just simply Jesus. Jesus is our driving force. Because it's the only thing that will keep you going in the end. Heads bowed, eyes closed, as Pastor Stephen comes, if you would. I'm going to pray for you here in a second. Pastor Steve, we're going to stand here in just a second, but I just wanted to pray with you for just a second. And much for your attention. I know you guys love the word here, and it's easy to preach here, and that's because you're prepared and you're ready. I know that. You're prayed up. I want you to really, really ask the Lord between you and Him just what gear you're in right now. Just, Lord, where am I right now? Where do I sit with you right now? You're here this morning, you'll say, Ryan, I'm a Christian and I'm saved, but I got something in my life right now. Maybe it's keeping you from serving. Maybe you're not what you planned on being, or maybe something came up. I don't know what it is, but you'd say, Ryan, I'll be honest with you, just by raising my hand, I need your prayers. Anyone like that? You're saved. God bless you. Hands all over the place. God bless you. See those hands. God bless you. God bless you. Maybe you just, you had good intentions, man. We all, listen, I promise you this, every Christian in this room has been in every one of these gears several times. Every one of us have been in every one of these gears. You're here this morning, you say, Ryan, I don't know Christ as my Savior. I'll be honest with you, I don't know. Would you hold up your hand and say, pray for me? I'm not a Christian. All right, I'm going to pray, and after I pray, we're going to stand and sing a verse. And I'm going to challenge you this morning, church. I want to challenge you to get in gear. And I think only the Holy Spirit can really do that in a life. I think only He can shine the light of Christ in your life and just show you that, man, what's motivating you maybe isn't the thing that'll keep you motivated. It must be the cross. That's our goal. That's our reward. Jesus is our all in all. Father, we love you. Lord, I want to thank you for staying in the theater. Lord, these people here don't know Ryan, but you do. Father, you would be just as right and just as holy to throw me into hell right now as I speak, and you'd still be God, and you'd still be right. Father, your grace and your mercy has been extended to this life, and I'm grateful. Father, forgive us for putting the finish line anything other than Jesus. Forgive us, God, for making all the noise as someone in drive, but knowing deep down we're not going anywhere. Forgive us for those of us in park, God. We're not moving. We're not planning to move. We're saved and sure, and we know it, and that's all. Help us, God, to understand we're not just saved for us. Maybe we're saved to reach others as well. For those, God, who used to be, those, God, who are going back today, I pray, Lord, you would get them in gear today simply by the cross. Draw us to you, I pray, for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand. Stephen will lead us in a verse. You come this morning if you need to pray.
Hymn number 219. I hear the Savior say, my strength indeed is small, child of weakness, why?